to speak about our obedience in Christ, where does he start? He says, think local church. Now again, I submit to you, many people don't think that way. Many professing Christians don't think that way. But Paul says, oh, now let's talk about living worthy of your calling. Where does it start? It starts in relating, to speak very directly to those who are gathered here this morning at New Covenant Church. It starts with relating to these living, breathing people sitting next to you. A real local body, yes, designed by Christ. It's the body of Christ. And how I interact and how I live in this body is of paramount importance. So mark it well, brothers and sisters. And the Spirit of God, through His apostle, begins to address the matter of obedience to Christ. The very first thing to which He speaks is this matter of living in vital fellowship with God's people in a real local church. Cherishing the fellowship, nurturing and protecting the fellowship. And I alluded to this already. It's really made quite clear through this chapter that the local church is the primary school of the soul. In other words, this is the primary place in which I learn to live out my spirituality as a Christian. It's in the context of the local church. It is the primary place by God's design in which I learn to live out a true spirituality. It is the primary place in which I learn to live out a true obedience to Christ. And my regard for the local church is a very significant measure then of my spiritual maturity. Isn't it? It's very clear. So, to live worthy of my calling, here's the first lesson. I must cherish and guard the unity of the body of Christ. First lesson. I must cherish and guard the unity of the body of Christ. And this morning, briefly, we think on these two main points. First, the spiritual disposition required if I'm going to be cherishing and guarding this spiritual unity. And secondly, Paul brings six very brief but powerful arguments for cherishing and guarding this unity. It's one after another. You come to those other verses we read. Boom, 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 boom. What's he saying? We have a wonderful foundation and very powerful arguments for living in just this way. So first, what's the spiritual disposition that's required if I am to be cherishing and guarding this unity? See how the apostle describes it here. He says, walk worthy with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love. Here's the spiritual disposition. Again, first lesson of the soul. First lesson with regard to my obedience to Christ. First lesson with regard to living out this great calling, this wonderful calling that God's given me. It requires a certain spiritual disposition. And see how it's described. It's described as a disposition of heart. The apostle says, with all lowliness and gentleness. Now, would those be the first things that come to your mind when you think about the absolutely necessary spiritual disposition living amidst the church? When you think about priority, when you think about spirituality, when you think about the really needful thing, I mean, maybe it's Bible knowledge, huh? Maybe that's the big one. We can be all smart theological whips. Maybe that's it. No, Paul doesn't say that. Of course, the truth is vital here. I can't know these things that he describes unless I know the truth, unless I care about the truth. But in terms of priority, he speaks about this disposition of heart, which he describes as all lowliness and gentleness. Number one. It's a great measure, isn't it? It's a great measure. Lowliness. He means a lowly mind. Humility. To have a humble opinion of oneself. A deep sense of one's moral littleness. And we preached in the Beatitudes, we spoke of a deep sense of my own spiritual poverty. So we'd ask the question, I mean, how do you, and it pertains to how I see myself before God, first and foremost. How do you see yourself before God? Do you see the greatness of your need? Do you see your moral littleness when compared with God as you stand before God? Do you see yourself in that way? Because that will inform all of my other relationships. Paul makes it clear here. That will affect very much how I interact with my brothers and sisters in Christ. Won't it? But see, if I think I'm a really big deal, I'll be bumping into all kinds of people. Or they'll be finding out about me really quickly. I think I'm really hot stuff spiritually. Yeah, watch out. Crash! You know, that's trouble. Now, Paul speaks of lowliness of mind, humility, a deep sense of one's moral littleness, a deep sense of my spiritual poverty apart from Christ, to know that God is God and that I am a man, that God is the Creator and I am the creature, and I am to serve Him in humility all of my days. What do I have to boast about? Nothing in myself. What do I have to boast about? Well, Christ. Boast about Him. I can boast about grace, can't I? I can boast about what Christ has done for me. But I don't have much to boast about in myself. You notice this? Not much to boast about in ourselves. Oh, but this wonderfully forms us in terms of how we interact with one another. Paul speaks of gentleness. Could be rendered meekness. Greek word proutes. Not self-willed. It's used in other literature of a horse that has been broken. So, no longer self-willed. Immediately responsive to the Master's command. Ready at every point to do His bidding. That's gentleness. I've been broken from my self-will. And now I want to do what Christ wants me to do. That fits us wonderfully in our interactions with brothers and sisters in Christ. The chief question is, what is Christ calling me to do? I'm to serve Him. How is He calling me to serve Him? As we say many times, there's plenty of opportunity to serve in the body of Christ, isn't there? You don't need a special job description. How has Christ called me to serve His people? And this is wonderful equipment. I mean, this wonderfully fits me for service in the body of Christ. Perhaps we'd say it fits me for more wonderfully than anything else. Humility and gentleness. Humility and meekness. Crowning characteristics of the Christian life. Think about it. Humility, meekness. And so we think of one of those few places in which our Lord Jesus Christ described Himself. He did so in just this way. I am meek and humble of heart. And you shall find rest for your souls. Oh, there's the life of rest, isn't it? There's the life of peace. We're all restless when we're all full of ourselves. We cause problems when we lack gentleness and meekness, don't we? So this disposition of heart, very important. And this we emphasize it again. This is the first thing the apostle speaks to when he talks about living worthy of our calling. So we measure ourselves, don't we? I am meek and humble of heart, says our Lord. So first lesson of spirituality, first lesson of spiritual obedience. It centers on how I live amidst my brothers and sisters in Christ. Now some people will say, well, I don't want to live amid sinners. It's too hard. This is a very popular sentiment. I don't want to live amid sinners. I'm going to move out to, you know what I want to do? I want to move out to You think as far as you can go. I want to move out to the country, Washington State, you know, Columbia Valley. That'd be a beautiful place to live. And I really want to get away from people because they're so hard to live with. Well, you know, mine is the chief problem, really. But many people have that sentiment. And, of course, it overflows with respect to how they look at the church, and it overflows with respect to how they look at their involvement in the church or lack thereof. I don't want to live amidst sinners. I don't want to be bothered with that. Can't I just live my Christian life by myself, to myself? Hard living with sinners, isn't it? And to this we say, and the apostle says, welcome to the real world. And no, you can't live your Christian life in your self cave. You can't. Not if you're going to obey Christ. You can't. No, you can't. You can't in the flesh move out to Montana. Can't do it. I mean, the Lord may direct you out to Montana, but it won't be to get away from people. You can't live your Christian life in your self cave. You know, I was thinking of the man cave here. You know, well, a lot of people have a self cave. It's where they want to get away from people. They don't want to be around people. Well, you know what? In the Christian life, you can't get away from people. You can't, nor should you want to. We're called to live in vital fellowship with one another. Christ called us, He calls us, to live out our salvation in a real world, in a real church, with real people, who, yes, happen also to be sinners. Just like you. So, you know, it's often said, Don't go off trying to find the perfect church, right? Because if you join it, it won't be perfect anymore. But don't go off trying to find a perfect church, because there is no such thing. No, every church you come to, a New Covenant church, is this way. This is a church of redeemed sinners. And we're called to live in a vital bond of fellowship with one another. And in our flesh, we recognize this in our flesh. You know, it's easier to... I suppose a lot of us say this about ourselves. You know, well, you know, I'm not very good with people. You know, I'm really kind of introverted. I'm really kind of shy. A lot of people say that, you know. And I suppose that to a certain extent, all of us are that way. We're afraid of getting close to people. It's fear of man, afraid of getting close to people. But Christ calls us, doesn't He? First lesson of obedience has to do with interacting with my brothers and sisters in Christ. Yes, guarding this fellowship in Christ. A necessary disposition of heart. And the apostle speaks also to a necessary disposition toward others. The activity of this, he says, walk worthy with all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love. And so here we are, yes, rubbing shoulders with other sinners. And what is this supposed to look like, or what's the disposition of heart that's necessary as I rub shoulders with other sinners in the body of Christ? Long-suffering. Yeah. Patient in bearing with the offenses and injuries of others. Now, here's a wonderful gauge of our spirituality. Am I patient in bearing with the offenses and injuries of others? That's what I'm called to. Yes, I shouldn't be shocked if in the body of Christ, somebody steps on my toes. Shouldn't be shocked. You know, it's been well said, I think, that collisions happen in the body of Christ, and the question is whether you deal with them or not. They'll happen because of our condition. It happens. Patient bearing with the offenses and injuries of others. To be mild and slow in avenging. That's long suffering. To be mild and slow in avenging. And the apostle says, bearing with one another in love. Of course, love is the chief fruit of the Spirit. You could say it's the crowning evidence of the work of the Spirit. And such love is first to be seen in my relations with my brothers and sisters in the local church. Again, it's the first school of the soul, we said. So, you know, we could put the question this way. How am I doing? You've got to think about New Covenant Church here if we're going to make serious application, right? How am I doing in my relationships with my brothers and sisters in this body? Very important question. Am I cherishing and seeking to cultivate a unity of the Spirit? Very important. Paul says it's the first lesson. Well, I want to be spiritual, man. I want to really grow in Christ. Well, here it is. Oh, I don't know if I really want to, do this. Can I just go off somewhere and serve the Lord? No. You got to serve the Lord here first, New Covenant Church. Oh, that's boring. No. It's a wonderful thing. You mean this ordinary group of people gathered in this community center? That's what I'm called to live with this group of people, to get to know them better? I don't know about that. Now, let me say this. I mean, I think it's true at New Covenant, in a measure, I think it's true that the Lord's begun to work in us. He's working in us by His grace. And, you walk into this place, you walk into this circle of people, and a lot of people are right there, Hello. Hi. Christ's work is grace in us. In a measure, we love the people of God. We love the people of God. We love to meet people. Love to get to know them. Now, we're learning that at the same time, aren't we? We're learning it. Well, we're clumsy at it, but we're learning. Yeah. But this is the way it is in the local church. And Paul speaks of that fitting of grace that we need if we're to live in this way. Walk worthy, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love. And of course, he speaks to the priority of this disposition, or we could say the overarching goal, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. And I'm to be self-conscious about this, always thinking about it as a priority. The unity of the Spirit. A unity which the Spirit of God has established in His church. And I'm to be conscious of this unity, and I'm to cherish it, and I'm to guard it. And that is to be a rather overriding goal of all of my interactions. Certainly it also means I'm to pray concerning this. Pray for the unity of the church. Pray for the unity, the peace, the purity, and the unity, of course, of the church. Pray for this. Sometimes people say, well, how should I pray for New Covenant Church? Pray this way. Pray for the unity of the church. Pray that we all together might be cherishing the relationships that we have and nurturing this unity, keeping, guarding the unity of the Spirit. Because when this unity is guarded and enjoyed, it's a chief manifestation of the blessing of the Spirit of God. Think of Psalm 133. How blessed when brethren dwell together in unity. It's an evidence of the pouring out of the Spirit of God. And so we're called to this, aren't we? A keeping, a guarding of the unity of the Spirit. And to seek those things that make for peace among the brethren. And so Paul speaks of the bond of peace here. Now, would you have thought that's the first lesson of living out my calling in Christ? Of course, you could say it's framed in other ways in the Scripture, isn't it? We thought recently in the book of Romans, chapter 12, where Paul begins, in a manner, he begins application there, and there's the presentation of myself. But even there, when he first speaks of obedience, he's talking about the body of Christ, living together with my brothers and sisters in Christ. So let me ask the question again. Is this the first thing you think of? Paul, by the Spirit, says it's supposed to be. It is. Interacting with my brothers and sisters. Meekness, humility, gentleness, long-suffering, patience. These are the chief fruits of the Spirit. And this is that to which we're called. Well, we don't have time to bring all the arguments for this unity. 6 powerful arguments for cherishing and guarding this unity. We'll look at these next time. But briefly, 6 arguments. Run them fast. We are one body. We've all experienced the same salvation. We have one Lord. We have one confession. We have one true identity, and we have one God and Father. Argument over. What should separate us? What is so very important that should hinder our fellowship? We have so much in common through Christ. And that which we have in common, we'll have in common forever. And as we come to the table of the Lord, we're reminded of this bond that we have, brothers and sisters in Christ. Of course, the scripture is very clear here, isn't it? In the matter of coming to the table of the Lord, if I'm aware of any division with a brother or sister, I need to address that. Why? Because it shows I cherish the unity of the body. And it shows I cherish what God has done for me in Christ. And it shows that I cherish God's design in His church, the body of Christ. So we say, first lesson. Here it is. How are you doing? Now, if you don't know Christ, you're not doing well at all. And the first lesson for those who don't know Christ isn't to try to make myself humble. That's an impossibility. The first lesson for those outside of Christ is to trust in Christ alone. Come to Him, confessing my need, trust in Christ alone. Ah, but then, how are we living with each other? And so we look to the Lord for His grace. Let's pray together. Father, help us, we pray. That we might look to You, that we might see these fruits of the Spirit produced in us, that there might be for all of us this priority of the body of Christ and how we live with one another, how we interact with one another, knowing that truly, Lord, Your church is the first, it's the primary school of the soul. If we don't learn spirituality here, we're fooling ourselves if we think we learn it somewhere else. If we don't learn spirituality in our relationships here, we won't learn it anywhere else. So focus our hearts in Your grace, we pray. And be pleased to show Christ in us more and more. We ask it in His name. Amen.